You know, that's a beautiful song. I was down in Florida many years ago. I was in an auditorium with about 2,000 people the first time I heard that song sung. And it just sends chills down. It's a beautiful song, and glad that Mel led it tonight. Please take your Bibles on and turn to James chapter 3. We're going to conclude our discussion this evening concerning the two types of wisdom. We're talking about the passages of James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. And we're talking about two types of wisdom that men have to choose that they will take and they will use. One is heavenly, sent from heaven, and the other is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And we discussed this morning that wisdom is the application of knowledge, and that all wisdom is not the wisdom of God. And we also discussed this morning how wisdom is something that we need in order to make good decisions. And that there are people in the world that have knowledge. They have good knowledge, but they do not have wisdom in applying that knowledge because it is not in accordance with God's will. And so we've got down to the part of looking at the source of ungodly wisdom. In verse number 15 of our text, the scripture says this wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Now those three words give you the insight of why this wisdom is the wrong kind of wisdom. And we left off this morning talking about the origin of this wisdom. It is earthly. It is from man, and it is not from God. Such earthly wisdom is foolishness to God. I want you to take your Bibles out and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul talked about this in his letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we want to begin reading in verse number 20. And in this context, he talks about the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of men. And he says in verse 20, he says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, that not many mighty, and not many noble are called." Then what we see here is that there is a stark contrast drawn between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. To the world, the wisdom of God seems to be foolishness. Now, when you talk to people about the wisdom of God, and you talk to people about the Scriptures and the need to apply and to correctly live and be able to form your life around the things that are taught in the Scripture, and that God gives terms and responsibilities and duties, they think you're kind of out of sorts. They think they don't understand. They believe that it really doesn't matter. But the wisdom of God does matter. And that's why it's contained in the pages of God's Word. Now, it may be foolish to the majority of the religious world to submit to baptism. That may be, in their eyes, absolutely ridiculous. They believe it has no bearing or no merit on one's salvation. But Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." The wisdom of God says it is necessary. The wisdom of the world says it is unnecessary. And so somebody is wrong about the matter. They both can't be right. Somebody's wrong, or they both could be wrong. But we know that God's not wrong, because we know in the Scripture, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 6, verse 18, God cannot lie. Whatever God says is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. If God said something will accomplish something, you can take it that that exactly is what's going to happen. And the wisdom of man, it may appear foolishness, but if it's from God, it is divine and it is something that we must gravitate to. In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse number 15, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. Now this is a passage that you know very well. Many of you could probably quote it. And it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's things that are of the world that we can't love. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, it says friendship with the world. Excuse me, that's in chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 4, in his second letter, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Earthly wisdom to many people is superior to divine wisdom. Now let's ask yourself a simple question. How in the world could that be true? How could earthly wisdom be greater than divine wisdom? Take this note. Earthly wisdom comes from men who were created by God, by the dust of the earth, and are made in the image of God. How could their wisdom be greater than the one who spoke the world into existence? How could their wisdom be greater than divine wisdom that knows all the answers and also knows all the questions? How can that wisdom even be compared in the same breath to divine wisdom? Brethren, to me, it's a no-brainer. Nobody can be wiser than God. And His wisdom is far superior to anything that man has seen, believed, written, or may comprehend, because it did not originate from above. Appeal, the sensual part. A having the nature and characteristics of the principle of animal life, which men have in common with the brutes, governed by the sensuous nature and its subjection to appetites and passion. Something that's sensual is something that's attractive to the appetites, the fleshly appetites of men. And those are things that all of us have because we were created with them. But giving us certain appetites and fleshly appetites, God also gave the rightful mean of satisfying those particular appetites. But the world says there are other ways that you can satisfy those fleshly appetites, and yet they say that their wisdom is greater than God's wisdom. Now let me give you just a real simple example of what I'm talking about. In the 1980s, I was not many years out of high school then, believe it or not, and I was a pretty young man, and I remember our education system decided that the thing that we needed to do is we need to educate our children better on sex education. And so they were going to put sexual education into the high school curriculum. And they were going to also emphasize and teach how to have safe sex. They said by doing this that we would greatly help and avoid the birth of unwanted children and single mothers. All right. We did that for 2 decades. And let's go to 2000. How are we doing? Today, the single mothers is at an all-time high, higher than it's ever been in our society. Abortion is raised by over 300% in that time period. And promiscuity, today, 1 out of every 2 graduating seniors have had at least 1 sexual encounter. Now, brethren, we've really come a long way, haven't we? How did that wisdom compare to the wisdom of God about this? A number of years ago, there was a preacher, a friend of mine, in Indianapolis. And they were talking about implementing this sexual education in their sophomore program. And so they had a PTA meeting about it. And they were going to discuss what they thought needed to be in this class. And so after many people spoke up, this preacher, he raised his hand and said, whatever we teach, I believe that we need to include a chapter in the curriculum about abstinence. He was laughed to scorn. You know what they said? He said, Mr. Smith, this is the 20th century. Let's get realistic here. Our children are going to practice promiscuity and sexual behavior, and we need to teach them how to do it rightly. Brethren, such thinking is destructive. And if we just look at the facts, I'm not one that really likes statistics, but this is one that really gets my attention, because this wisdom that man thought that he knew did not and will not work. It will not work. What is one of the greatest epidemics in our health that affects, that we spend millions of dollars, billions of dollars on every year trying to find a cure? AIDS. What is the number one reason for AIDS? The number one reason that AIDS even exists. Because of immoral sexual activity and because of using drugs in an unhealthy and in an unhealthy way. All right, what if we took the morality that God had and we applied it? You know what I think? I think the AIDS percentage would go way, way down. Brethren, there is a stark contrast in what God says will work and what man says will work. And if you take the time to look at every situation where man has put his wisdom and tried to match it with God, he has come out on the short end of things. God's wisdom works. Men's wisdom does not work. Appealing to the senses, to the emotions, and the passions, you don't make things better by caving in to the desires. Brethren, we have taken the position in our country that they're going to do it, so let's go ahead and let them do it and do it in a way that's safe. Brethren, that's just like giving them the green light. I had a young woman that I knew when I was, this has been about 10 or 15 years ago, and she was a beautiful girl, was a straight-A student, and was a very intelligent young woman. And you know what her mother told her, and why she thought she had to tell me? I was the wrong person to get in this conversation with. But she told me that she told her daughter, now, if you find somebody that you really feel, have deep feelings for, you come home and you let me know, and we'll go down and we'll get you on birth control. Because you should not enter a relationship that can end with you getting married until you have an intimate relationship with that person. You know what? People like that shouldn't have children. Brethren, what are we doing when we fly in the face of the wisdom of God? We're dealing with our own destruction. Brethren, God's ways work. Why don't we try them and see? They will work if we will put our faith in them instead of the wisdom of the world. The reasoning used for perversions in the worship and the work of the church. What is the reasoning? It's what people want. The wisdom of the world says if you want to put people in the pews, give them what they want. They want to have something that makes them feel good. They want to appeal to the, not to the sexual, but to the recreation, to the social needs of man. And brethren, if we do that, then we'll be more successful in trying to gain their soul. Brethren, it doesn't work. You know why? You remember when Jesus took the bread and the fishes and he fed the 5,000, and then later on they were following him, and he says, You're not following me to hear about the wisdom and the truth. You're following me for the loaves and the fishes. And brethren, it's playing all out today in our time. Today, religion has done nothing but try to solve the social ills of society. Brethren, that's not what religion's for. Religion is not to solve the social ills of the society. Religion is to solve the greatest problem that man has, and that's his relationship with God. It's the problem of sin. That's what the business of the church is. That's what the business that we're in the spiritual business. We're into saving souls, not feeding the homeless, not feeding the hungry or sheltering the homeless or taking care of the drug addicts or taking care of those who have abused their life with alcohol. Ladies and gentlemen, there are government things that do and help in those situations. That is not the job of the church. But human wisdom says it is. You know how many calls I get every week to pay a KU bill, to pay a mortgage payment? You know, do we help in providing food, brethren? I can do that on an individual basis. But why do people call the church to think that the church takes care of all that? Because they have been schooled and they have been deceived that that's what the church is about. It's about solving the social ills of the day. That's human wisdom. Now let me ask you an honest question. When men follow such wisdom, carnality is increased and spirituality is decreased. Something gets short-circuited in this process. Now let me ask you an honest question. If we found a place for every homeless person to live, and we fed every hungry person that exists in our country, and we took care of all the addicts who have abused themselves with drugs and alcohol, and we got them off of those things, how did we help their soul? How did we bring them into a better relationship with God? How did we take care of the greatest problem that they possess, and that is the sin problem? How did we help that situation? We did not help. And yes, we solved the social ills, and you know what we did? We won the battle, but we lost the war. Because the most gravest problem that they have is the spiritual problem. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have the time and you have the opportunity, if you go into the churches of men today and you just sit and listen to what they're taught and how much Bible is preached and how much emphasis is put on the spiritual, it would make your head spin. Brethren, people today are not interested in the Bible. To them, it is archaic. To them, it is foolishness. To them, it is a tried-out thing that no longer works. Brethren, such thinking is going to destroy us. Such thinking is going to destroy our nation. It says it's central, it's demonic. Brethren, that's a pretty strong word. It's demonic. It's devilish. Resembles or proceeds from an evil spirit. It's demon-like. You remember when the Jews were arguing with the Lord about their heritage, about their lineage being tied to Abraham? And remember they were boastful that they were the children of Abraham. And you know what the Lord told them? He says, you're of your father the devil. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and his work you will do. Ladies and gentlemen, when men choose human wisdom over divine wisdom, they're not serving God, they're serving Satan. Because that wisdom comes from the devil. Earthly wisdom, sensual wisdom, comes from the devil. It is contrary to everything that is good, and it will condemn the soul that follows it. Does not require denial of God in spiritual things, just a promotion of worldly, carnal, and sensual things above the aspirations of the spiritual. You know what? The devil's not interested in making you a whoremonger. He's not interested in making you an adulterer. He's not interested in making you an immoral person. All he wants to do is diminish your spirituality. That's all the Lord, that's all the devil has in mind. He wants you to depend less on God and more on yourself. Because when you do, he wins. When you replace divine wisdom with human wisdom, with earthly wisdom, with sensual and demonic wisdom, then the devil wins. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. The devil did not seek to make Eve an atheist. He just wanted God to be demoted in her mind. He wasn't trying to make Eve an evil person. He tried to plant a seed of doubt in Eve's mind. What did he say? Have God said, now you know what? The devil knows exactly what God says. He knows exactly what God means. And he says, hasn't God told you that you can eat of every tree that's in the midst of the garden? He said, yeah, God said that we could eat of every tree in the midst of the garden, but the tree that is in the center of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God said we shall not eat of that one, because if we eat of it, we'll die. But you know, all the devil did with his wisdom is put one little word in there. He said, you will not die. God knows that in the day that you eat of it, you'll be like God. You'll be able to discern good and evil. Now, you know what? There was some truth in what the devil said. They would be able to tell the difference between good and evil, but he forgot about the consequence part. He forgot to refer back to what God referred to. God said, in the day that you eat of it, it'll cause you death. It will cause you separation from me. But he didn't, he kind of left that part out. You see, he wasn't trying to make Eve into an evil person. He just wanted her to doubt God. Because when they doubt God, then they'll follow their own desire. And that's what she did. And brethren, the world's never been the same since, has it? You see, he wasn't trying to make her just an ungodly, evil person. He was just trying to get her to demote God, that maybe God doesn't know everything. This kind of wisdom thrives upon pride. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and in verse number 3, the wise man Solomon would write, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Brethren, we live in a society today that we are told over and over and over again on many different in many different realms, on many different levels, that nobody knows what's best for me than me. That it's all about me. It's all about what pleases me. It's all about what makes me feel good about myself. It's all about taking care of little old me. And we're bombarded by this daily. Every day we're told that we need to chart our own course and we need to have the freedom to do whatever we choose to do. Well, I'm telling you, son, ladies and gentlemen, you have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. And it didn't come because you're an American. It came because God created you with free moral agency. And you can do whatever you choose to do. But ladies and gentlemen, when we believe that the world has something in their wisdom that will give us a better life than the divine counsel of the Almighty God, then, brethren, we've made a stark, stark mistake. And it will cost us our soul if we don't change our understanding. You see, the Scripture says, where there is envying, self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Confusion denotes a state of disorder, disturbance, confusion, tumult, revolution, or anarchy. Every evil work, everything that's worthless, that's vile, that's wicked, that's empty, that's base, that's what devilish, demonic wisdom leads to. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not yet carnal and behaving like mere men? Brethren, the devil just wants to confuse you. He just wants you to put a seed of doubt in your mind that God is not as smart as he thinks he is. That divine wisdom is not as great as God says that it is. And that maybe you know what's better in your life than the one that created you. Now, brethren, how can that which has limited ability, has a limited life, be wiser and smarter than one who is eternal? How can that be? How can the creature be wiser than the Creator? How can that be? You know, he talked about that in Romans. He says they worship the creature rather than the Creator. Now, brethren, that's the world that we live in today. We live in a world that worships themselves more than they worship God. They have chosen human wisdom over divine wisdom. You see, God, but the wisdom from above. Now, the wisdom that comes from the throne of God, the wisdom that comes directly from God, and is attained from, it is attained from God. It didn't originate with man. It wasn't thought about by man. It came from the mind of God. We also understand a respect for God's Word. You do well to read the 111th and 119th Psalm. It talks about the deep respect that men must grow to have for the Word of God. You need to have a deep, abiding respect for God. You know what? I'm very proud of who I am, and I'm very thankful to my mom and dad for my life and for the name that they gave me. And I tell you, during my life, I've done my dead-level best to never bring reproach or shame upon the name that they gave me and to be a bad reflection on my parents. But brethren, I wear the name of my Lord who died for me, and I wear the name of the Lord who was crucified for me, the one who desires me to be with Him for all eternity, the one who's done more for me than anyone ever will or ever have, and I worry a lot more about letting Him down than I do about letting man down. You know, I have a deep respect that what God says is true. And what man says, I'm going to check it out. Bible study. In Psalms 119. And by the way, this is what the 119th Psalm is all about. And you know what? It's the longest Psalm in the Bible. It's 176 verses. And every stanza, there are 22 of them, has to do with an aspect about the Word of God. In verse 97 and 98, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies." Brethren, divine wisdom will make you wiser than your enemies. Divine wisdom will make you smarter than those who oppose God. Obedience to God's will in Psalm 107 and verse 43. Maturity. The time that you ought to be teachers. You have need for someone to come in again and teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. And you need milk and not strong meat. Why? Why were they not mature? Because they did not exercise their senses to discern between good and evil. There are two sources of wisdom, just as there are two sources of authority. Remember when Jesus was upon the earth and they were trying to trap Him in Matthew 21 and chapter 22, and the religious hierarchy of the day came to Jesus and said, "Wait a minute, we got a question for you. Where do you get this authority that you have, and who gave it to you? Where did you get this authority, and then who gave it to you?" You know what? That's a good question. And that's a question that needs to be asked today to many religious people. Where did you get your authority, and who gave it to you? You know what Jesus said? He said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from men?" So they reasoned among themselves and said, "Well, if we say it's from heaven, He's going to ask us why we didn't obey it. And if we say it's from man, we fear because all men count John as a prophet." And you know what they decided? They decided they were between a rock and a hard place. They really didn't want to admit what they did, because if they admitted it came from heaven, then they're going to be called on the carpet because they didn't obey it. And so they said, "We can't tell you." He says, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." But you know what? He did tell them. He told them over and over again. How many times did He say, "It's not my will, but the Father that sent me"? How many times He said, "Let not my will be done, but the Father's will"? How many times did He say that it was not from Him who is descended, but the one who sent Him? He told them, they just rejected it. Why? Because it didn't agree with their wisdom. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? This is the problem today. The people reject divine wisdom today because it doesn't agree with their thinking. It doesn't agree with what they want to do. And since it doesn't agree with what they want to do, then they reject it out of hand that it's bad wisdom or it's bad advice or bad counsel because it didn't originate and it doesn't fit what they want to do. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. You see, the nature of heavenly wisdom is pure. It's pure from defilement. It's not contaminated. The wisdom from above is not contaminated with earthly limitations. It's not contaminated with a lack of knowledge. It's not contaminated with bad counsel. It's not contaminated with the theories and the opinions of men. It is purely something that comes from God. It's peaceable. Blessed, remember in the Beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. Why? Why did God say through His Son, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God? There's a peace that passes all understanding, Colossians 4 and verse 7. There's a peace in knowing that if I do the best that I can, and I follow these instructions to the best of my ability, and I put my faith fully and solely with God, I can lay my head on the pillow at night, and if I never wake up again, that's okay. Because I know that my heart and my soul are in good hands. But brethren, when you depend upon earthly wisdom, when you depend upon the theology of men, when you depend on the original religious thinking of men, of the so-called religious giants among us today, when you go to pillow your head at night, I'd be worried. Because there's no comfort and peace in that. Because you know why? Because human reasoning changes. It doesn't remain the same, does it? Human wisdom is always changing. Why is it changing? Because it's trying to meet the demands of what people want. So it's always changing. If you don't believe me, just think back 50 years. And the things that people would have never even talked about. If it happened to them, they wouldn't nobody to know. Today they go on TV and they brag about it. Things have changed. Why? Because man's attitudes have changed. Now they believe that they're smarter than God. It says it's gentle. It says it's gentle, equitable, fair, moderate, forbearing. It expresses that considerationness that looks humanly and reasonably at the facts of a case. And it reads a passage we read this morning in Philippians 4 and verse 5. It's willing to yield. Does not yield faith, but opinions. Considers the evidence and yields to the truth. You know what? It's okay to examine something to make sure it's the truth. But once you know it's the truth, then you must yield to the truth and you must reject the opinion and the theory. And you must yield to that which is right. Mercy, kindness, or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted. Join with the desire to relieve them. This is the kind of wisdom that helps people. It's the kind of thing that will give help. Real help, compassion, long-suffering, patience, peace. It's something that really offers something that can help. The wisdom of God can truly help a person. Let me ask you a question. What ill does man have today that God cannot give them a cure? What problem does this world face that God doesn't have an answer for? Poverty. Lord willing, in November, I'm going to go to a country that 70% of the world lives under the poverty level. And when I'm talking about poverty level, I'm not talking about our poverty level. Our poverty level would be considered rich in the nation that I'm talking about. And 70% of them live in under that poverty. You know what the average Filipino makes a year? Less than $1,000. But you know what? They're some of the happiest people I ever met on the earth. You know why? Because they have their priorities in the right place. They may not ever attain to greatness or wealth or fame here, but they don't care. You know why? Because they're striving for something that's greater. They want what God's offered because that's offered to anyone, no matter what their poverty level is. And they're more willing to examine the truth because of their poverty than we are in our wealth and our self-sufficiency in our country. You see, there's not a problem. Riches, they could be gone tomorrow. They could be gone tomorrow. There could be a great catastrophe and everything you worked for your whole life could be taken away from you. Would that shake your faith? Would you think your life was over? Would you just feel that you were totally defeated? Or would you put your faith and trust in God? You see, there's not a problem that this world has that God doesn't have an answer for. But you know what the problem is? The world doesn't like the answer. You know, you go to the doctor. I know some of you can really relate to this. And you're sick and they give you medicine. And you think, yeah, you know what? This medicine is worse than whatever I got. But you know what? That will never be true with God's medicine. Whatever God tells you to do to fix whatever problem is that you have, you can be assured that that wisdom and that knowledge will get the job done if you apply it the way that God said. He will never give you bad advice. He will never give you bad counsel. And His ways are always the right way. Do we believe that in every aspect of our life? Are we willing to yield to the truth and lay our opinion and theory and wisdom aside? You know, the wisdom from above, it brings about good fruit. It produces good things. It talks about the word, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 24. It's without partiality. The wisdom of God is for anyone, poor, rich, educated, uneducated, male or female, wherever you might live, nationality, color, it doesn't matter. God's wisdom is for anyone who will use it. It's there for the taking to anyone that wants it. And it's without hypocrisy. You know what that means? It means it's genuine. It means it's sincere. It means it's real. And bottom line, it works. Isn't that what we want the most? We want it to work. The fruit of righteousness is sown in heavenly wisdom. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. By them that make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. As much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. You know what? If I treat men the way that God tells me to treat my fellow man, I'm going to get along with the vast majority of people that I ever come in contact with. Oh yes, there will be people that won't like you. There will be people that think you're high-minded. There will be people that think you're narrow-minded. But the majority of people, even though they will not agree with you, they will respect you. Because you know why? You can't argue with this. You can argue with me all day long. But you're not going to get very far arguing with this. Who's going to say that this is bad counsel? Who's going to say that the wisdom in this book is not the best wisdom that's available? And who would be foolish enough to do that? Well, there are people that are foolish enough to do it. But they are foolish. Because there's no greater wisdom than that which is from above. There is no greater wisdom than the wisdom that comes from God. And so, you see, brethren, it's really very easy. There's two kinds of wisdom, and there's two kinds of fruit. One wisdom is earthly, it's sensual, and demonic. And the fruit that that wisdom produces is envy, is self-seeking, is confusion, and every evil thing is a source of that wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from God and from above, it is pure. It is peaceable. It's willing to yield and it's gentle. It's merciful. It produces good fruit. It's impartial. It's not hypocritical. And it gives peace in one's life. But ladies and gentlemen, how in the world, if you're an honest person, could you believe that the wisdom that is earthly can help you more than the divine wisdom of God? Who knows man better than the one who created him? Who knows what man needs more than the one that created him? Who knows better the things that will help you get the most out of life, to be able to avoid the pitfalls, to avoid the dangers, and to be able to live a peaceable and pure life that can affect others, lead people to Christ, to be an influence for good, to be a light to those who are lost and dying in sin, and to be an asset to any community, and to be able to raise up godly offspring that will raise up godly offspring that will continue to span generation after generation of people who will live for God and do it God's way. Brethren, tonight, if we're honest, the wisdom of the world has put us in a pretty sad predicament today. We have followed the wisdom of the world long enough. One of the things that I pray for continually, is that the leaders of my country will open their eyes and look upward instead of looking at themselves, and will look to the greatest counsel that there is available, and will look to God and His Word for the things that they do that can bring this world the things that the majority of the people want in this life. You know what? There are a lot of problems in the world. And there always will be problems in the world. But you know the saddest thing about many of the problems that we have in our country today? We did it to ourselves. It was not something that somebody else did to us. It was what we did to ourselves. And we did it to ourselves because we leaned upon our own understanding more than we leaned on the understanding of God. Now, brethren, it's a choice. There are two types of wisdom, and wisdom is proven by its fruit. You know what I told you this morning in closing? People can tell if you're a person of wisdom just by how you live your life. Just by observing you on a day-to-day basis. By seeing how you conduct yourself in the everyday activity of life. That can tell people whether you're a man or woman of wisdom, or one of you lean on human wisdom. It's very observable and very easy to see. So tonight, which wisdom is it for you? Do you have faith in the human earthly wisdom that's carnal, that's sensual, that's demonic? Or do you have the wisdom that's purely comes from above, that helps us, secures us, aids us, and will make life as good as it can be, and promise us a relationship with God that will last through all eternity? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you could ask a number of people what you must do to be saved, and you get a number of different answers. And yet the Bible is so simple and so plain about this, I don't know, you got to have help to miss it. There's no way to misunderstand what God said. If you look at every conversion in the book of Acts, and there are nine, if you look at every conversion that's in that book, you will see men and women that heard the Word of God, that believed what they heard, that motivated them to repent of your sin, their willingness to confess their faith in Christ, and to submit to baptism, to contact the blood of Christ. And every one of those examples, they went on their way rejoicing. You know why? Because the greatest burden that man has is sin. And the only wisdom that can remove that burden is the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God has told us how we can erase that burden. You either accept that or you can accept something else. You can accept the wisdom of the world that says, just pray through. Just let God's grace take care of you. Just have faith. Just be a good person and have a good life and let the good outweigh the bad, and you'll be okay in the end. That's what human wisdom says. Now, man has to make a choice. He either is going to believe what the earthly wisdom says, or he's going to accept the terms of the divine wisdom. Now, the world says tonight that once you're in a relationship with God, that you can never be lost. That no matter what you do in your life has no bearing upon your spiritual relationship with God. That you can live any way that you want in this life, and that's just the body, and it has no effect on your eternity with God. The only one little problem with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's not taught in the Bible. You know what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10? It says we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of God. And what are we going to give an account of, brethren? We're going to give an account of the things done in the body. That's our work. That's our actions. That's our thoughts. That's the things that we did. That's what we're going to give an account of. And if they're not in accordance with divine wisdom, we're going to find ourselves in the wrong place. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, or you are one and you're playing the game, you're just going through the motion, you're just filling a pew, you're just biding your time, you need to think about where you'll spend eternity. Because, ladies and gentlemen, one day we're going to die. And that's going to happen to everybody in this audience, including me. And we're going to die, and we're going to close our eyes in death, and our spirit is going to leave our physical body, and we're going to wake up somewhere. We're either going to wake up in a place that has peace, rest, and hope that we know when we meet our Lord, we know what He's going to say. But you can wake up on the wrong side of this proposition, and you'll have all eternity regretted. You're going to only be here for a short time. You're going to be in eternity a long time. I'd rather be comfortable in eternity than to be comfortable here. What about you? As together we stand and sing.